All right. God bless you guys. All right. Good morning. Bless your hearts. We're going to celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ today. This is the only memorial he gave. It was a cry of victory. Didn't look like it, though. The devil thought he won, right? Had the Lord Jesus crucified. But God had a different plan in mind. And in the process of the finished work of Jesus Christ, he provided a couple of things, at least a couple, many things. One of them was something that the blood, the wine, the juice, the blood got and bought for us. What was that? Forgiveness, right? Remission of sin. This is the thing that was the stumbling block, the barrier, the fence, the veil that kept man from the presence of God. It says Jesus tore the veil, tore in two, right? At the moment of the crucifixion, giving all of mankind access to the Holy of Holies. But there was another thing that happened too. As many of us know, Jesus was very brutalized. He was so tortured, I would say, and done to him that, believe it or not, in the record in Isaiah it says you couldn't even see him, you didn't even recognize him as a human being. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today we reflect upon that. We remember his finished work on our behalf. And in Hebrews it says he even cleansed us through his finished work from all consciousness of sin. That we don't even have to have a conscious of sin. So I know these communion things sometimes can be very solemn sort of occasions. But to me also it's a celebration. I call this grace wins. Right? Yeah. Because the love and vision God has for us is so amazing, so inspiring that really words, and myself, I can't really adequately describe it. In God's own non-judgmental way, he continues to look at us with loving eyes and he desires only the best for us. Because God is good. He just wants to get good to us. In Psalm 23, in the last verse, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue you all the days of your life, shall follow you. That actually is the word pursue. It's trying to catch up with us, okay? We just got to slow down long enough to allow the goodness of God to catch up with us and overtake us and let it just bless us. In such a great way. But there is a thing called tradition. And there's also wrong teaching that have portrayed God, our Father, as a God of anger, a God of wrath, and a God of judgment, rather than as a loving, forgiving Father who is the giver and sustainer of all of life. In his great love and his desire to reconnect with man, God gave his Son, Jesus, to pay the blood sacrifice, thereby giving man free access to his presence by grace. There's nothing any of us could ever do to work to get good enough, to have straight A's. Every report card from kindergarten through college, that's not going to do it. you can be the lowest of the low or the highest of the high, and in God's perspective, all things are equal. Because God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. It's unconditional love. Amen. See? So it's a really, really beautiful thing. John 3:16, familiar verse. Gary, what does that say?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him is not buried, but have everlasting life.
Amen. Okay, one of the greatest and most often quoted verses in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave. There's a little clue here. Love is giving. Okay, so if you want to kind of sometime break out of whatever funk you might be in at any given moment, look for an opportunity to give. Because we're not looking to always get. Oh my gosh, I think that is the way of the world, right? Me, get. As soon as I get my life together, then I'll be free. But Christianity is exactly the opposite. You are free. Now give, right? Live from the inside out. Let the Spirit of God, the life of Christ, flow out of you in giving. Jesus Christ, He was, and He is God's solution. The problems, the mistakes, and the failures of mankind, these are things that allow God and His grace to open a huge door to be restored to a position of righteousness before Him. Christ paid that perfect price for us to then stand righteously in the presence of Almighty God, who is what? Holy, right? Amen. See? In Romans it says there is none righteous. No, not one. See? Christ cut that veil. Opened the door. Holy of Holies. So today we celebrate. We celebrate what God accomplished in His Son. We pay tribute to the common union. That's what communion is, the common union, koinoneo, full sharing, fellowship with Jesus Christ and one another. By the grace in God's, in Christ's finished work, we can expect love's transforming power to heal us and to continue to remind us that we're free. We're free. See? There's always pressure to put you back into something that you've already been released from. See? We're here today to say no to that. No more. Christ paid the price. And He paid the price for me. If I was the only person alive on this planet this morning, He paid the price for me. Jesus Christ, He was, and He is, the perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb of the first year, right? You know, shortly before His betrayal, and actually the betrayal, all the dynamics and drama, I know we don't like drama, but this was drama at the Last Supper, okay? He identified his betrayer. So it wasn't just, you know, like we see the picture of Jesus and the 12 and they're all like, just like their feet are halfway off the ground. They're just like, ooh, you know. This was real life that was happening. And he went on to share quite a number of things about humility and service. You don't see it in all the records, but in one record in particular, you see Jesus putting something around his waist, getting down on the floor and washing the feet of the disciples, right? There was also some arguments going on who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus is trying to talk at a certain level with these guys, and they're like being contentious about other things that I guess would be more important to them. But he really was sharing some heartfelt truths about humility and about service, which you can read about later in John chapter 13, verses 1 and following. I really do encourage you to do that. But in the middle of all that, that was happening, they were having a meal, and it said he got everybody's attention, I'm assuming, and he broke the bread. And he began to make these statements. It says he took the cup, he gave thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them and saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament, my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They were kind of scratching their heads a little bit at times, going, well, where are you going? And he would talk about it and talk about coming back and, you know, the comforter and these different things. But he knew. And so we've come to understand in looking back that the wine is representative of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is indicative of remission and forgiveness of sins, providing freedom from condemnation, guilt, sin consciousness, and it restores righteousness, a right standing before God. Do you deserve it? No. None of us deserve it. That's why it's by grace. God gave it. And the bread is representative of the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for us. And it gives to us healing and wholeness from sins and the consequence of sins, restoring physical health and soundness to our physical bodies. Ever since the fall, when Adam and Eve made the wrong choices, mankind has been in this dilemma of having sin consciousness and the nature of sin within them, which it brings on all sorts of different manifestations and that sort of thing. Christ brought us back to that point where we can have newness of life. See, the Word of God is the will of God. You know, a great man once said, man's greatest spiritual problem, he does not believe in the integrity of God's Word. He does not believe that the Word of God is the will of God. See, it's the greatest secret in the world today, actually, that the Bible is the revealed Word and will of God. The devil in the garden tricked Eve by changing the Word, adding a Word, omitting the Word. He got her to engage in a conversation where he basically proposed a lie that was the direct opposite of the truth of God's Word. Think that's still happening today? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yet at Psalm 138:2 it says, God magnified His Word above all His name. John 17:17 says, Thy Word is what? Truth. Truth. See, the words of God are pure. God-breathed words, strong words, words that we can hold on to and agree with and believe. See. And so as we partake of the bread and wine this morning, we can say to ourselves, by His stripes, I am healed. And we recognize and thank God for the grace by which it was provided. Right? And as we drink this morning grape juice, we can rightfully accept and say, I'm forgiven. And we recognize the grace by which it was provided. So I'm going to ask our helpers here to come on up here, and we're going to distribute the bread first. And if you would, just please hold it. Pick off a little piece, hold it, and then we will participate together. You see our picture here, one bread, one body. Thought it was so great for us to be able to participate together. And, you know, Jesus spent a lot of time alone, but He also spent a lot of time with people. He spent a lot of time with His disciples and obviously in a lot of ministering situations with many, many, many people. And this is one of the only, if not the only, memorial by which we pay tribute to what he did. So we're thankful to be able to do this together and to be mindful of his finished work on our behalf. So we're getting the bread out to everybody. He thanked God. And I think together as we do this, we in our hearts express such thanksgiving to God for what he's given us and done for us in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to pray, and then let's just partake of it all together, okay? Heavenly Father, you're so good and gracious to us. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be together collectively with our brothers and sisters. And Father, as we eat this bread of one body and the work of Jesus Christ in our behalf, energize the Spirit of Christ within us. Make us whole, Father. Deliver us, help us, strengthen us, energize us, cleanse us. Give us the things in our hearts and lives that we need, Father, to be our best and in such a strong, miraculous way. We thank you for this, God. And your wonderful provision in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead, guys. You guys come back.
I think this morning what we'll do is we'll just all partake of the cup together as well.
So in your hearts, as you drink this, say to yourself, I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm free. Amen? There we go.
Just sit quietly for a moment. I have a song I want to play.
Coming of our Lord and Savior. Still will I pray in Jesus' holy name. For I have heard the tongues of men and angels. I have felt the warmth of God's embrace. My lips have tasted of the living waters, and I've been filled with the fullness of His grace. So I believe. I believe, I do believe. I wasn't there when Jesus walked upon the water, or raised the dead, or caused the blind to see. I only know He said the works that I do, you shall do also, yet greater works than these. I've never faced the trials or the torture. I've never felt the rod upon my back. But for my life, Christ paid the price completely. The victory's won, and there's nothing that I lack. For I have heard the tongues of men and angels, and I have felt the warmth of God's embrace. My lips have tasted of the living water. I've been filled with the fullness of God's grace. So I believe, yes, I believe, I do believe. Been filled with the fullness of God's grace. So I believe, yes, I believe, I do believe.
Says it all. We believe He paid the price by grace. We benefit. We're the benefactors. So we've all been fully immersed. We've been baptized. We're fully immersed in all that Christ accomplished. And we have been completely transformed by His work. He brought it to us and He bought it for us. The total deliverance from sin and the consequences of it. So my encouragement this morning, today, the days that follow, take a deep breath. Don't be so hard on yourself. God loves you with all your imperfections. We're saved by grace. And we're free. We're free. Doesn't mean you don't have to get up tomorrow and go to work. Or this afternoon, or 10 minutes after this fellowship, or whatever. But spiritually, free. Free. And we're the recipients of the greatest gift by grace that was ever given. Over 2,000 years ago. How good is God? So good. So amazing. All we can do is speak in a perfect language that God has given us the ability to do, to really honor Him and just bring to him what he's given us the ability to do. Isn't that cool? God loves us so much, he gave us a language that we can speak to him perfectly, and then he understands. You know. So, I'd like to have a closing prayer. Then, Jan, if you have some follow-up things you'd like to do, that'd be fine, whatever we need to do. But God bless you guys for coming and being part of the choice you made many years ago or yesterday, whenever it was, to be a part of this great one body. That was God's call, God's hand upon your life. You're a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you have an REV in front of your name or not, that's not the issue. You're a chosen child of God. You're a minister of righteousness. It's cool. Heavenly Father, thank you for... I want you guys to hold hands all together here.
Stand up, whatever you want to do. Lay down. Yeah, you don't have to stand. If you can't stand, don't believe it. All right. Gracious Father God, thank you for being so good to us. At times like this that we can remember who you are, the freedom you've made available to us in Christ, Father, and communicate it to us in a way that each one of us individually understands it. Whatever that takes, Father, you've certainly got the ability to do that. Thank you for being such an individual and personal God. Thank you for the Spirit of Christ that lives within each and every one of us, for being energized and strengthened within us right now. And that we have the confirmation from your word, Father. We have the confirmation that as we sit and meditate upon the things of you and your word, that you nurture us, you cherish us, you hug us in only the way that you can. And that we are just so convinced and that the truths of your word and the finished work of Jesus Christ is so confirmed in us, Father. That we've given this, been given this great spiritual ability to walk with you. Thank you for opening our ears up, making them 50 times bigger than they are so we can hear you, Father. So we can walk forward in the power of your Holy Spirit. And forgive us, Father, where we've fallen short. And help us to rise up again to new heights. Get a greater vision. Get energized and strengthened, Father, where we feel weak and tired in our minds. Thank you that you never get weary. You never sleep, and yet you never get tired. I don't understand, but you are absolutely amazing. You're the thing we live for, we breathe for.
Yes.
You're the heart of our hearts. Amen. We so cry and crave within our, groan within ourselves, Father, to know you better, mm-hmm. to be at that day when the trump sounds, when Christ will return, yes. where everything will be made right, where the lion shall lay down with the lamb mm-hmm. at some point in the future. Maybe we can swim underwater without drowning, we can see and all this other stuff, but you know, God, it's going to be so much bigger than our minds can even fathom. I'm sure you'll have great jobs and chores for us to do, and we'll just not even be weary about it. So thank you, Father, that we just go on our way rejoicing in the freedom that's ours in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, God bless you guys.